May the Lord help us to commence our service by singing hymn 989. Ye captive souls in fetters bound, who feel your misery, the way to liberty is found, the sun shall make you free. Hymn 989.
Let us read together for our instruction from God's holy word. From the book of Exodus, we will read a few verses in Exodus 32 and then read in the 33rd chapter. Exodus 32 And we will commence to read at verse 30. I'm reading to the end of chapter 33. Exodus 32, commencing at the 30th verse. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, Ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people, because they made the calf which Aaron made. And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart, and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on him his ornaments. For the Lord had said unto Moses, Say unto the children of Israel, Ye are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment, and consume thee. Therefore now put off thine ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that at every one which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses, until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped, every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For there wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and there shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. The Lord instruct and bless his own word to us and help us to pray. O thou, the holy, holy, holy God, we come before thee as vile, polluted, unworthy sinners. And dare we therefore tread upon the sacred ground where thou hast pledged to meet thy people, even at thy mercy seat, when we're so black and so wretched, and thou so holy and full of majesty, the infinite God that filleth all things, thou art eternal, and yet, Lord, thou hast condescended to make thyself known in the person of thine own dear Son, who is very God, oh very God. And it is that mercy may come through that work accomplished, which we know was sounded forth in those words, "It is finished," a blessed redemption, an atonement made, and a way of access found for the poor sinner to plead the precious name of the dear Son of God. And he who came to be that babe in Bethlehem, and there shall call his name Jesus. Lord, may the name of Jesus be as one found it when he penned those lines. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and casts away his fear. Though we would tremble at thy footstool and at thy word, yet, Lord, may we not from it draw some precious comfort and consolation, that though a consuming fire, as it has been expressed out of Christ, yet in Christ, a merciful and a gracious God. And as we have read, thou wilt have mercy upon whom thou wilt have mercy. Therefore, Lord, we come to plead for that mercy, if so be that we may obtain it. And Lord, as one has said, that I am resolved to try. For if I stay away, I know I must forever die. So, Lord, this is how we would come, a beggar poor at mercy's door, lies such a wretch as I. But now, Lord, we pray that as we gather, we would worship thee. We would desire to be nothing, and that thou mayest be the all and in all. We would, Lord, extol thee, for thou art worthy to be praised. Thy greatness is unsearchable. Thy love is everlasting. Thy goodness thou hast pledged to go before thine own dear people. And have they ever proved it to fail? Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, said David. And he, the youngest of his family, the least, yet was called from the sheepcote and was raised to be the king over Israel. Lord, we may not esteem ourselves as anything, but what thou dost make us, if thou dost raise us up, Lord, first to a hope in thy mercy, and as some may be there, and then to follow in those ways, that they may testify to thy goodness, to thy love, and to glorify thy name in a profession of their faith. And as we understand one has, then we would commend her unto thee, and others that may also be constrained. And Lord, we are thankful, though often tried and troubled, when we consider the time when we ventured, and how that did that love did sweetly draw us, indeed force us in. And yet, O Lord, that we have to complain, as it were, because of our own waywardness. And so often we find that the old man struggles hard to gain the conquest over grace, and oft times seems to gain the field when Jesus hides his face. But oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt indeed go with us. We have come into another year of time, and a full week has passed of it. And Lord, we are on the brink of this year, know not what is before us. But Lord, may it be with thy church, thy people, those that gather here as personally and individually, to know thy presence, to go with us. And Lord, we would echo what thy servant did reply when he said, "If thy presence go not with us, carry us not up hence." But Lord, how then shall we go forward, except thou dost go before us? But we thank thee, Lord, that we have the promise and the evidence. Whatever Israel of old was, and their manners in the wilderness ill became them on many occasions, yet, Lord, thou didst not leave nor forsake. We pray that thou wilt grant thy mercies unto thy people here. We would thank thee, Lord, that they have been favoured and blessed. And may they still know that favour and blessing. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt appear for them as may be their desires, and so grant them according to their desires. We do, Lord, pray that thou wilt heal the backslider, if there be such, and restore. We pray that thou wilt bring again those that have gone astray. We would pray, Lord, that there may be those prodigals brought back, not only amongst thy people here, but indeed amongst the varying churches up and down the land. In this solemn day in which we live, our materialism and worldliness and wickedness evil thinking. Oh Lord, what can thy poor and needy people do when they see the increase of those that would oppress and those subtly undermining our constitution? It may seem almost worn away, and yet, Lord, we know that the foundation standeth sure, having this seal, that the Lord knoweth them that are his. Therefore, Lord, we know that thy people shall be preserved and kept and upheld, whether they be few or whether they be many. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt be merciful unto thy servants who labour. Oh, how they need their hands to be held up of thy Spirit, but also held up by the people in their prayers. And Lord, may there be the word going forth in power, in much assurance, in the Holy Ghost. We do, Lord, pray that thou wilt send forth labourers, and that and by their ministry there may be those which shall be added to the church of God. Lord, we have seen a diminishing. Could it please thee to revive thy work, that there may be a building up? Oh, then, Lord, we pray that thou wilt send forth those faithful ministers who may be instruments in thine hand. We do, Lord, pray that thou wilt be gracious and merciful unto those that are laid aside at this time. And if their desire has been to gather on this occasion but are prevented, O Lord, come to them where they are, on their bed of affliction. And the Lord, that there may be many, that we may not know of particularly, that are in such a place where they are not able to gather, age and infirmities, as well as sickness, as has been mentioned, and much affliction. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt grant thy healing hand, and if not, then thy sanctifying grace of patience and submission to thy will. We would also pray that thou wilt look upon the young, the rising race, there are the babes in arms, and those that are attending school, in all that they may have to face, being taught such things which are untrue, contrary to thy word, distortion of what may be set before them in through the ministry, and that therefore they come to thine house, then they go to their school, and what a conflict of ways and expressions things which may seem to confuse, but make them, Lord, to see plainly. Give them gracious discernment. Do preserve them, Lord, from the snare that many have fallen into. So we do commend them to thee and to thy keeping power. And Lord, we do pray that when they then pass through the years of teenage and then to go forth and face the world to obtain work and to so do what is becoming of them, then give them all the needed help. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt be mindful of those that are suffering for thy name's sake. Lord, we may not know of it, but we do know a little of what one wrote, and ere they meet the public eye, they feel the public scorn. And so, Lord, to uphold thy people in this sinful world, and help them to stand, to be faithful, to hold fast that which is good, to flee from the evil. Oh, do, Lord, then appear. We would pray for those in other parts of the earth, and some of those may live in much fear, not knowing whether they shall be apprehended and have to suffer torture, imprisonment, or even death. But Lord, we do pray that they may be sustained in such a state and a place. We would remember those, Lord, that have been subject to the elements, whether floods or fires or eruptions or earthquakes. Lord, we pray that thou wilt yet provide for them, those in their losses. And we would pray particularly for any that have touched thy people, and that they might be helped, and that those that have lost their loved ones, carried away by those things into an eternity. Oh, we pray, Lord, that those that remain may reflect the mercy of their escape and the goodness of God in yet appearing to bring and restoring again to what we may term normality, where that has been, and if not, to consider what they deserve, and to realize that thy judgments are indeed just. Now, Lord, we will not multiply words before thee. We would bear our leaders before thee and pray that they may be given wisdom and mercy upon our sovereign queen. Do, Lord, sustain her, and particularly with all that has affected her in her family. We do feel much for her, but, Lord, we pray that she may be upheld in her lot. And now, pardon then our every sin, all that we've uttered amiss, forgive. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 13. God's mercy is forever sure, eternal is his name. As long as life and speech endure, my tongue this truth proclaim. Hymn number 13.
Thank you.
the Lord may be pleased to help me. I direct your attention to the book of Exodus, chapter 33, and we will read again from verse 18. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. The book of Exodus, chapter 33, and particularly from what we have read, and I hope to come to this verse 21. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Moses was standing before God. He had proved him to be a holy, holy, holy God who could not look upon sin. Moses had received the testimony of God's word, the commandments. He had observed and seen the Almighty, a pen, though not to be seen, yet inscribe upon the stones the holy way which was to be set forth before the people, that they may realize that the soul that sinneth it shall die, and realize that those commandments were to be kept. But soon it would be realized, how can poor mortal man keep one of those commandments? Moses, descending therefore from the mount, he had to curse those in his anger. God was angry. He would have consumed the people. But Moses, in his anger, cast the stones to the ground. They were broken. A broken law. There were a people that needed one to go and to mediate. To mediate on behalf of their sin. Already shame had been evidenced. Aaron was careful that they should be there carrying on in shame, so that then they would have no reason not to blush when the holy word was made manifest. And that is so in the work of God with a sinner. There is nothing to cover our shamefulness until we see the shed blood. The blood that makes that atonement. Now, it was the day after, as we began our reading, and it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go unto the Lord. Peradventure, I shall make an atonement for your sin. And so Moses stood before the Lord. He stood before the Lord not only as one that had been called to lead the people out of Israel, out of Egypt, and to bring them into this place. There it would seem in the backside of the desert, Moses saw the burning bush which was not consumed, and that was to teach Moses and to be a consolation to the church of God down through the ages, that the bush would burn but not be consumed. But what does it represent? It represents the glory of him who would come to be the angel to go before the people. Christ alone can lead us forth and be with us. There must be his presence. God in his consuming nature will not go up before or with the people, but he will go up in his mercy and in his compassion. He will go before them with a presence, a sacred presence, that they may be preserved and kept from being overcome by their enemies, that they should know the fulfillment of the promise to be brought into the land that the Lord had spoken of to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and also to Moses himself, that he should bring them to that land. He brought them to it, but not into it. There was a young man there that was Moses' servant, Joshua, and he was the one appointed to take or to bring the children of Israel into that land of promise. But nonetheless, Moses, as he was at the present time facing God, would be brought to plead that the Lord would not leave them, were not forsake, to plead the promise. What a blessing it is that we may plead the promise. Not always do we feel the application, but we can plead these things if so be that the Lord will be gracious. He's pledged to be gracious unto those to whom he will be gracious. Poor sinner, may that not be you? May it not raise a little hope that if my sins were laid upon my Saviour, my Redeemer, the one who can present me acceptably unto God, God the Father, that I may then come in and have access, as I poured out my petition, and therefore accepted in the Beloved. Moses desired that as he pleaded for the people here, they might not be cast off, but rather to find acceptance with the one who had brought them out of Egypt, and therefore would be with them to the end of their journey through the wilderness. Well, Moses, he had to plead and ask, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And upon that we have to venture, dear friends. Not only Moses had to venture, but as he may stand before God with the case of the people, as it were, upon his shoulders, bearing up before God what he knew was needful, that there should be the evidence of the Lord's glory may manifest. And particularly he felt his need of it. So it is with every God-sent minister, that I minister to the people, and may seek unto God on behalf of the people, particularly when they have to minister to them, and that the Lord would reveal something of his glory, even though it be in a small measure. Already the children of Israel had beheld something of the glory of God. They knew the solemn things that had come for their sakes upon the Egyptians. And there was a glory and judgment. But then they were to know that in that day of deliverance, when the avenging angel would pass through the land, that it would not touch them. Why? Because of blood. There have been death in the dwellings of the children of Israel, but it was a substitute. It was a lamb that was taken according to each particular household. The blood was to be sprinkled upon the doorposts and the lintel with hyssop, a bitter herb. How can we speak of the bitter sufferings of Christ? And yet, may we not rejoice in the wondrous mercy that we realize when that blood, we feel by application through the Spirit, to be sprinkled upon the doorposts of our heart and the lintel of our conscience. A sense that we stand clean and forgiven, pardoned through the mercies of Christ. Well, it is a blessing that we may seek after. I trust you do. Wrestle until you feel a little sense that the Lord has not cast you away, but rather that he has graciously drawn you in, that you may be amongst those that tremble at the word of God. For it is to this man that I will look, to him that is of a broken and contrite heart, and trembleth at my word. Remember, dear friends, you need to pray first for that, a broken and a contrite heart. And the Lord will give you true repentance under the knowledge
of what you need to repent of and what you need to obtain through the mercy that is displayed in the word itself and the mercy that may come down to you. You may be a beggar on the dunghill, and you may be as one that is robbed and spoiled, like the man who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Some would say, what business did he have to do that? How many times are we guilty? Go down again into the world to suffer all its curses? If we only consider what this world would suffer in the end, we may then hasten back if we could, but robbed and spoiled, poor helpless soul, but one that passed by went on the other side, a Levite, a priest, but a Samaritan came where he was. Well, what a mercy it is that the Lord has not cast off. But I must return to this. Here was Moses then, as he had been ordained to lead the people, was a king to the people, was a one who would mediate on behalf of the people. And that indeed was a particular, it was a unique a work that Moses had. There was none other like Moses, except that there should be the greater one that was spoken of, that the Lord would raise up. And whereas Moses was to set before the people the law, the greater than Moses was to set before the people the gospel. And that is what we have, the gospel. And those that are his servants, as weak and as poor as they may sometimes feel they are, it is that they may minister the gospel. And how can they minister the gospel if it was not that the Lord would speak to them in a similar way as we've read for our text, as he did to Moses? Behold, there is a place by me. A place by me. And therefore, when we have to bear testimony to the things of God, there's a place by me. But I must return, I've gone on. The glory of God was revealed. They came into the wilderness, and there he provided for the manna and also water to drink that came out of the rock. It was to the glory of God that such provision was made, so we may know something of this glory, in that the Lord does provide for his people and goes before them in it. And have you known something of the provision? Has the Lord left you without some touch, some taste? Or have you drunk of the fountain? Or have you come to know its cleansing power? That fountain open for sin and for uncleanness? Has the glory of God been revealed to you in that the enemy, whatever your enemy may be, has sometimes been subdued? Others may have risen up. We know with the children of Israel, there was the subduing of Amalek. In the early days of their wanderings. But there were other enemies that they would have to face towards the end of their journey as well as along the way. But they knew that God was faithful. They proved that God was faithful. And the Lord's glory was seen on their behalf in their deliverances. And you know it is the same God that delivers us. He delivers us from death to his glory. That is, that we come to realize the solemnity of that death which will bring us to a lost eternity. But he delivers us to set before us life, eternal life, life in the one who alone can give it, the Saviour of sinners, he who came down that he might feed his people with living bread, not the manna that they Israelites out in the wilderness and are dead. Oh, that was indeed a token. That was a type. But types will never feed. The reality must be known. What a mercy it is that the Lord does. Often through the types, though, grant faith to see and therefore to feast upon the reality. Abraham, he saw Christ's day. How did he see it? In that a ram was taken from the thicket and to be laid upon the altar in the place of his son Isaac. Substitution. That was what Abraham beheld in the type, but the type spoke to him of the reality. And that was faith that took hold of the reality. We need the same like precious faith to lay hold upon the reality of the glory that is revealed. Well, show me thy glory. The Lord showed his glory in two ways. First of all, we may say a general way. When he said, I will make all thy goodness pass before thee in the way. That not only applied, though perhaps specifically in one sense to Moses, but also to those that he was leading, those that he was over, the children of God as they came to be called. They were the literal or the children of God after the flesh. Some were children of God after the Spirit. Those that looked to see the fulfillment of God's word and waited, they were children after the Spirit. Those that returned to their idolatry or murmured as though a God was not fulfilling his purpose, then under the law they were slain. They died in the wilderness through unbelief. What will change an unbeliever into a believer? a God-given faith, that now you have to say, I do believe. And to believe as the apostle who said, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. Well, show me thy glory. So it would be that the Lord would go before them. His goodness would go before them. And he would be gracious to whom he would be gracious. Not because they deserved his graciousness. They didn't. Neither do you. Neither do I. It's God's glorious sovereign pleasure to be gracious to whom he will be gracious. And who shall say, aha, what doest thou? That sovereign work, it's a humbling work. It brings you to say, why me? Why me, O blessed God? Why such a wretch as me? Have you said it? Do you honour him? Will you follow him? When he's done something for you? When he has caused you to stop in your tracks and ponder? You never did it before. That there should be mercy. Depth of mercy. One said, can there be mercy still reserved for me? The penman had gone to some great lengths. And therefore, could there be any reserving of mercy? Ah, a fullness resides in Jesus our head. And ever abides to answer our need. Remember, dear friends, that seeking mercy, shall we not obtain mercy as the apostle did? Saul of Tarsus as he was, a Pharisee, other Pharisees, a hypocrite, injurious, a troubler of the people, a people of God. And yet the Lord had mercy. Mercy. Then we may look to that mercy which is declared here. And it is the glory of God that causes his goodness to go before us. To bear a testimony, to also to manifest his presence with us, in that he works not just from a distance, if I can put it this way, but he works within. He works within. Within your soul, bringing about a change, a merciful change, a sovereign change, and yet such a change where there will be a conflict. You see, these Israelites, who came out of Egypt, they soon would meet with conflict, as we've already pointed out. And that there will be conflict through all the days of their history. The conflict of the heathen and of the enemy. Those that will be used sometimes of God to subdue the spirit that was in them, which then rose up against God. Jealousy, enmity, and rebellion. All such things may have come up in their heart, but the Lord used the enemy to bring them again to their senses. Oh, it's a mercy that if we are left and the enemy seems to overcome us, and I speak spiritually now, Satan seems to have again acquired us and drawn us back into worldly things, we may begin to see that those things only bring disaster. All seems to be going wrong and awry. And then we're brought to ourselves. We're brought to realize the folly of our ways. We're brought to seek again that the Lord will have mercy, and we prove him faithful. Prove him faithful. Well, that is one aspect of this glory. When you may say, show me thy glory, you may see it in that he goes before you. It may seem and would be perhaps to mere professors who want something great, it may seem that they would despise it. But there's nothing more blessed than to see the Lord going before us, moving a stumbling block. Perhaps a little thing to the professor, but it's a great thing to you. The Lord removes it out of the way. What is the stumbling block that's in your way? You may say, well, it's my sins. But you're not a great sinner, as some may say. You know, haven't been like those that we read of in the newspaper, all their dreadful pursuits. The very Spirit may have dwelt in your heart, though you've been kept from doing anything. Yet there you discern the sinfulness of your very nature as you are born. You have to plead before him, and you see his glory in not dealing with you as you so richly deserve. You see his glory in that he covers the multitude of your iniquities with his forgiving love. When he does that, you know, he will kill the lusts of the flesh and bring you to realize that you in yourself are no better, but through his sanctifying work, he may bring you as a willing servant to obedience in his love and way, that we may be followers indeed. But I must go on. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. The Lord would reveal to Moses his glory in a particular way. And it was then that we come to our text. For who could see the glory of his face and live? No man could see his face and live not in all his holiness. He was a consuming fire. But nonetheless, the Lord would show Moses what he would sovereignly permit at that time. There is a sense, and I must pause to say this, there is a sense
in which we are more favoured than Moses. You may say, what do you mean? Well, if you were to turn to the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, you will find there in the fourth chapter these words. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Moses, in his position as a prophet that would speak of Christ, and yet as one who would set before the people the law which would set before them their transgressions. For it was given, the law, for transgression, that they may then be brought in guilty. But they would have a view nonetheless of that which would come to pass, of the one that would be provided, sent, given unto us. A child is born, unto us a son is given. And that he, God himself, would show forth his glory, reveal his glory in the giving of his son, that we may behold his face. That is the only way that we can ever behold the face of God. It's in the person and work of the Son of God, the incarnate Son of God, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And how do we behold his face? By looking into his precious word, and there proving and there seeing and then proving the blessing that there is in that deep which coucheth beneath. Behold Christ. Some may speak of visions. We will not make any particular comment on that, but dear friends, if you are to view Christ, you will see it in his own word. That's where you need to look for it. There were those times when God, as it were, revealed a little unto his ancient people through his prophets. We may read the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. There we see the one in his sufferings that will be realized and undertaken, his sufferings and his death. And the prophet begins it with, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Still that is so. There aren't many that believe the report, are there? Do you believe it? Do you believe it because this is being manifested to you, Christ, and you beheld, as it were, his face in those things which have set before you the glory of all that he has accomplished. For now, the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. This is the place. The place which is a hiding place from all the terrors of the law that would sink us into perdition. If we found guilty of them, and we are, of all those things, he that hath sinned in one point is guilty of all. Ah, yes,
guilty, but saved through the grace of him who knew no sin, and yet was made to be sin. That is, he would bear for us the punishment of our sin, that he may deliver us from under the vindictiveness of a holy law, to bring us into the mercies of him who is faithful. And the faithfulness of God is as holy as his justice. His mercy is as holy as his justice. Therefore we see here that he provides, makes provision, a place by me. There is a place by me. As we have tried to think upon this word, it is to gather not only the place, but also the nature of it. The place by me is the rock. And thou shalt stand upon a rock. That rock, which is the very foundation, the rock is the foundation, the covenant itself, the person who fulfills the covenant which was made with David's Lord, in all things ordered well. David could stand upon that rock as well as Moses. There was the place of safety. There may be the view of God, whether it's his back parts or whether we see him as face to face. Not in his vindictive holy glory, but rather in his gracious, merciful kindness. But we need the provision of the place. And there's a place by me. He who came to dwell amongst us and to be in the midst of his church, to manifest himself as one whose merits are acceptable with a holy, heart-searching God. It's his merits that we can plead. It's the merits of those sufferings. He suffered that he might make an atonement. He shed his blood that it might bring us near unto God. Through the shedding of blood there is remission of sin. If the blood of beasts and of those that were slain upon the altars of old were not sufficient, yet we can say with certainty, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin, from all sin. We look therefore to the place. When we were therefore as dead, yet he came to die for us, the just for the unjust. He would bear the sins of many. And so does that gather in your sins and my sins. That is our hope. Yes, There's a number that no man can number. Though there is a number, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Yes, you may ever bless God for election. Had he not chosen you, you would never have chosen him. You would have remained in your sin. But the fact that he has chosen you, so time comes when his favour, his sovereign favour is made known and manifest. And he draws you and he brings you. There's a place by me. There's a place by me. Oh, when we might stand therefore upon his merits. And as one has said, I make no other stand. No, it will be your passport into heaven itself. It's your passport at the throne of grace. You come to plead his merits. Yours is to confess sin. Do not lift up your head to make an excuse for your sin. Do not lift up your head to try and vindicate yourself by some good deed that you have done. Plead the precious blood of Christ that cleanseth from all of sin. Therefore, dear friends, you may stand with a confidence upon that, a holy confidence, a God-given confidence, not the confidence of the flesh. We must say with the apostle, we have no confidence in the flesh. We have proved again and again our downfall. We thought that we may obtain acceptance by being a little better and being able to show some merits of our own, only to know the cold rebuff of one who is so merciful. But when he has so dealt with us, and then instead of coldness and hardness, he's melted us with a touch. We then have only mercy to plead. Mercy to plead. Well, have you come then this morning, perhaps not feeling that you have anything? Well, that's a good thing. But to plead his mercy. Or have you come hoping that you will obtain some acceptance because of your many prayers that you have prayed? That doesn't mean to say that we despise prayer. God forbid. Neither that you may pray continually. Pray without ceasing. May it be your soul bound up with cries, if only three words, Lord, help me. I come in your prayer, but do not think, dear friends, do not think that many prayers will bring acceptance of itself. Our acceptance is in the one whose name we plead. And if we are found in him, then we are accepted. And we find there's a place. Yes, there is a place. A place by me. Let us consider this. There's a place by me. As our Lord and Saviour speaks as a high priest, he has an offering to give. And here is the sinner that may be with the priest as it is set before us under the Aaronic priesthood with the beast. They would lay their hands upon the head of the beast and there confess their sin. And that, of course, sets before us the imputation of sin to the beast, that then, though they knew nothing of sin, yet when it was offered, it would be accepted. Christ, who knew no sin, yet he would offer himself. That is where the place is, that you may get a little view of your high priest who has offered himself, but now is at the right hand of glory. Now he can take and plead your case with efficacy, with power. And if you fear that your poor petition may be refused, his pleading, his intercessions can never be refused. There's a place by me, a sure place. Yes, a place by me. Well, whatever you may feel, and my time is gone, I must close. But this has been on my mind to bring before you. In the early days of my pastorate, I had a phone call from one of my members, and as we went on in conversation, she said she felt as though there was a ladder, and she feared she was not even on the bottom rung of it. And I believe at the time my mind went to Jacob, a sinner, and he came to Luz at the first, but he was to speak of it as Bethel, the place where God would reveal himself. Was he on the rung of the ladder? The ministering spirits went up and down, but there was poor Jacob at the very bottom. And she spoke of it as though her hope had been greatly crushed. And perhaps yours has been. But it led me to this text on that occasion. There's a place by me. And it was some time afterwards. After preaching that sermon, I had seemingly no response. But some time afterwards, after one of my sermons, she came into the porch and she said, "There's a place by me." I knew what she meant. And that was where she'd been brought, a place by me. But I must leave the subject. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £660, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Pocock will preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Ridout will preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday School in the afternoon. Our friends at Oakington hope to hold their New Year services on Wednesday, and the baptism of our friend Sarah Parrish will be, God willing, on Tuesday, the 28th of January. Let us close with hymn 968. Hark, my soul. It is the Lord. 'Tis thy Saviour. Hear his word. Jesus speaks and speaks to thee. Say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? Hymn 968.
Oh,
the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us evermore. Amen.